I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, this is Marek Larwood.
Hello there.
And we are joined yet again by a guest.
I was going to say that. I was going to say good evening or good afternoon, yeah. And I realised the
time. I assumed you were pretending to be a walkie-talkie.
I should have said good
hello. It's like having Jones from Police Academy here.
Over. What else should we do? Helicopter?
Yeah, go on.
I'll do a dog. I was trying to get Buddy to sniff the microphone. Oh, we have got a guest.
We've got a guest.
How would I describe him? By his name. It's Simon Fielder.
Hello.
Oh, Simon.
Simon Fielder.
Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Comedian.
Oh, pleasure.
Film lover. Tea drinker.
Yeah. All at once. Often.
Are those is that the best description of you?
I think tea drinker pretty much nails it down.
Is that what you'd have on your... What is your Twitter description of yourself?
Comedian, etc.
Okay.
And then about 400 links to all my whorishness, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Have you got your own website?
Yes. Yes, I've just recently got a GeoCities site.
Do they still exist?
I don't know.
You've just recently got a site from the late 80s.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't even know what this is.
GeoCities.
Sort of
pretty niche reference.
Yeah, I mean, if you thought there were AOL references in the early 90s, GeoCities was the jokes you told before those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Should perhaps have said geek as well, yeah, at the top after tea drinker.
Pre-You've Got Mail, GeoCities.
Yeah. Oh, that was... You've Got Mail. That's the AOL advert,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
basically?
Yeah.
Well, there's so many facts being fired at me already.
It's a lot to take in, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you like films, then?
I'm not... I don't really like films that much. Is that going to be a...
I thought you said to me that you really like films when I spoke to you. You'd love to come and do the podcast.
I just like to get out of the house. Do you know what, Marek? I bloody love films.
Great.
I've had a subscription to Empire magazine since I was about 14.
Wow.
Total Film since issue one.
I hate
you
those.
Get both of them. You're
well,
not really, they're not,
I actually...
Kind of
Empire went by the wayside,
okay,
I'd say, a few years ago. There was a time when I had them both for maybe 10
me
years.
Me too. I never subscribed. I always sort of ritualistically like to go to the shop and go
nice.
Buy it. But Total Film has sort of won out over
mm.
a bit.
And now the iPad app for Total Film.
It was the jokes in the captions of the photos in Empire that put me off.
Oh,
it's like they're not taking these films seriously. They're just trying to do stupid little gags.
Have you got them all lined up in sequential order in the bookcase?
Worryingly, I do still own every single issue of those.
So what was the front cover on the first issue you got?
Of Empire?
Yeah.
Good Lord. I wish I could remember. It's in my parents' garage. I really hope they're worth as much as gold or something now.
Are you a hoarder, or is you just...
Well, evidently, yeah. I'm trying to unhoard a little bit of my flat at the moment, and sadly, I think the back issues of Total Film are going to have to go. It's just I just don't want to kind of throw them into a bin and have them turn to mulch. I'd like to...
Yeah.
Well, ideally, I'd like to sell them for £100 each, but...
A good way to clear out would be to set fire to your house.
Interesting.
And then... You automatically choose the most valuable things in there.
in the moment.
Yeah, right. That you need. Right. And everything else you can claim on insurance.
Yeah. I'll be like, Hunger Games commemorative cover!
Yeah.
Run.
And you suddenly think a lot less of yourself.
Yeah.
But at least you've discovered it.
That's
about
true.
Yourself.
Yeah.
That's true. That's not even Jennifer Lawrence, it's the bloke. Who knows? I learned a lot about myself that day when you burnt my house down.
I was going to offer, I don't mind setting fire to it.
Yeah.
That would be a good podcast.
It's almost like you've set this whole thing up. just to have that opportunity arise.
Yeah, around the release of Hunger Games: Catching Fire. Ironically.
Very strong. Wait a minute, while I'm here, what's happening at my house?
Well, it's very windy. It's very windy at the moment, so probably some can't light the match.
Ah, good. Okay. Well, that's good news for everyone.
Yeah. But that's a great idea for a TV programme. Who am I really? And they set fire. You interview beforehand about what you think are your most valuable items.
Yes.
And they set
Which
fire to your
child
house.
Do you think you'd save?
Yes!
And then
it turns out I actually saved my Stratocaster guitar. Because my child had like a gammy lip or something.
It's a bit like the Saw franchise, this idea of just like discovering your true nature through horrific acts of violence.
I'd like to play a game.
I think it should be crap celebrities. You have to have this imposed upon them. Well, they would do it as well. People would sign up for it just for the TV.
All the Saw franchise was missing was Pat Sharp and
Joe Swash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Joe Swash would definitely do it. If you don't know who Joe Swash is, good.
Yeah, well,
you lucky person.
No, apparently he's a lovely bloke, so let's not.
Okay.
Know. Yeah. They always are, aren't they, the people you think are nasty?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm categorically unpleasant.
You're across the board awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't give anyone sort of two opinions about that. It's just like, well, he seems like a bit of a weird bloke, and then you meet them and you're like, yeah, he's really weird, isn't he?
But you're uber nice to everyone to the point. I've known Simon for about 10 years, probably.
Probably is 10 years, isn't it?
From the stand-up circuit. And so I've always seen Simon be nice to everyone. Mm. To the point where, fundamentally, I don't trust him.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And it's weird. And when you burn my house down, the first thing I'll do is I'll have to destroy a lot of stuff in the secret cupboard.
Yeah.
Lest that gets out.
There'll be a lot of screams.
If only you haven't fireproofed the secret cupboard. Came back to bite you.
Oh, that is embarrassing.
Well, let's talk about some films. Let's do a general thing. What are your favourite films you've seen this year?
Okay, off the top of my head, the ones that I can remember. Recently, I saw The Way, Way Back.
I saw that and did not like it.
You said, yeah, I remember you saying you did not like it.
We haven't covered that. I've not seen it.
Oh, have you not? No. Oh, that's a shame.
I'll mention it briefly. It was a sort of Sam Rockwell... the Australian lady.
Yes, Toni Collette, Steve Carell.
Yeah, a very good cast. And the one from Bridesmaids.
The one from Bridesmaids.
The best friend in
from
Bridesmaids.
From the people behind Little Miss Sunshine is the kind of the pitch.
The people just loitering behind her. Which friend from Bridesmaids?
Her best friend.
Oh, the best friend. Okay,
who was also in...
She's an SNL regular, I forget her name though.
Anyway, I didn't like it because the Lee was in it was rubbish. It's a sentimental sort of It's a sentimental coming of age film.
Yeah,
we talked about it briefly. What did you think of it?
I loved it. I thought it was just a cracking, you know, coming of age, rites of passage, light comic drama. I really, really enjoyed it. I don't know. Maybe if I just was in the right mood when I went to see it, I'd had some really good snacks, some sugary popcorn. But it just struck a chord with me. I think it's one of my favourite films of the year. It was funny. It was sort of moving.
It wasn't funny.
You didn't think it was funny?
Well, at no point was it. I went with 2 15-year-olds.
Okay, I'd like to talk
very
more
about expensive.
That.
I mean, the trouble I had to get...
Well, they charged by the hour, of course.
Yeah.
Someone had set your house on fire.
It was my nephew and his friend. And it said coming-of-age film, which is why I went to see it, because I thought, oh, this would be good for the boys, you know. Bit dangerous, let them, you know, probably come over a few difficult problems that they need to know about without having me to spit out to them. Not that that's my job, because I'm an uncle, I don't really do that sort of thing.
Uncle
Eric. If they want to speak to me about it, I'm sure I could be very educational.
Oh no, uncles should never talk to you about that stuff.
That'd be really bad if your uncle said, gave you the sex talk.
Yeah. Especially if it's just you and him in a room at the time.
Yeah.
It's easier if I demonstrate. I don't really know the words. Did they enjoy it? What did 15-year-olds take from
it? They thought it was rubbish.
Did they?
It was really slow, and it was... I think it was... it's an adult coming... it's a nostalgic look at coming of age,
yes,
rather than the actual coming of age film.
I agree. But it really... it did... it struck a chord with me in that sort of... like one of those films where you... you're sort of nostalgic for a thing that you weren't a part of. Like, I never lived... I never went to like the Hamptons or Cape Cod.
No.
In the summer for holidays, but it kind of evoked.
It's those
feelings,
feelings of I should be really enjoying my summer holiday, but I'm not really comfortable with myself or my surroundings.
Yeah.
And I, is this what how life's going to be?
Yeah. I never worked in a water park, but I certainly was rubbish with girls and that sort of thing. Yeah. I didn't have a stepdad, but like there was a lot. It just I enjoyed it a great deal.
It's the emotions of going through puberty, really.
Mm.
I don't remember puberty. This is my problem. I don't remember it as being this really important event.
It's not. It's just, it's sustained rubbish period. That's what it is, I think.
I feel like I might still be eking it out a little bit. That's maybe why things like that.
It's milking it.
Yeah.
Properly milking puberty.
It's like puberty is that sort of journey where you think you're going to come out at the end. Is that time when you think, oh, when I'm 21, I'm going to know everything?
Yeah.
You know, when you think you're going to be an adult, when you think of yourself as an adult, you think that they know what, exactly what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it turns out that we're all adults now and we still have no clue.
Yeah.
That's a worry,
that's where, yeah. That's where the midlife crisis comes from. When you realise you're over halfway through, and the better halfway through as well, and you haven't a clue what you're doing.
Now everything's just wasting time. Anyway,
when do we get our sports cars and model girlfriends, though?
I think we have to wait 10 years for that.
Okay.
Or crime, or get into crime.
Get into crime?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm seriously considering it.
Or arson?
The good thing about arson, well, the problem is, arson is to cover up crime.
Yeah,
are there any good arson movies? You know, the crime movies, definitely. There's definitely some midlife crisis movies. Are there any good arson movies? Arson.
Backdraft?
Is that
really arson?
Not really
arson.
I can't remember, it's just fire,
it's
isn't it?
It's a fire movie.
It's difficult to do a second take, isn't it, when something's on fire?
Yeah.
Cut.
That's why there was no Backdraft 2.
Yeah.
They regretted the entire decision.
They were like, guys, can we get the sets out of storage? What? Oh, no, they're,
that was
they're
it.
All charcoal now. Oh, well. Well, I'll leave it.
That would be a good... Just call it charcoal.
That's it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
What else have you enjoyed this year?
I'm trying to think of what else I've seen recently. I saw Francis Ha.
Oh, any good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Can you describe what happens, basically? What's the rough plot?
Well, based on the conversation we've just had, I suspect you wouldn't like it because it's kind of a coming of age, but one of those kind of mid to late 20s type of... learning about the real world. Oh, where do I fit into it? Oh no, I thought I'd be much further ahead with my life. I've still I hate to sort of use it as a touch point, but it's covers some of the same ground as the TV show Girls.
Okay,
so it's young girls in New York trying to get their shit together. Can we swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
Well, there's one Alex Wishart, who's 9, he must be about 10 now, so yeah, fine.
Yeah, as soon as he hits 10,
bring out the C-bomb.
Yeah. So yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it's, you know, it's witty, it's not particularly laugh out loud funny, but it kind of evokes that, like, Woody Allen Manhattan vibe. It's all shot in black and white, it's written and directed by Noah Baumbach, who did, like, The Life Aquatic and Margot at a Wedding, and one of my favourite films, which is called Kicking and Screaming, which is one of those sort of came out when I was at university, and it just, you know, was just the right time.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. I mean, one of my favourite films is Flight of Dragons, and a lot of our listeners, like Simon Skoltuck, have wrote quite derogatory things about
is that the cartoon you tried to palm off at your house the other
day? Yes,
right.
He's made me watch it as well, but I quite enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy it?
I can clearly see how this would be a very formative film when you were a kid, and it's a quality kids film.
That's my point. Is I think you can only, my justification for marking things is up to 8 out of 10 on merit, and the last two is always subjective.
Okay. That's but also you watched that at a certain time in your life. It's like one of my favourite films is The Karate Kid, but if I watched it now, I wonder if it would stand up.
It does stand up quite well,
does
think.
It? Because I watched it 100
around.
Times.
Around!
Nothing's going to ever keep you down.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, it's a time of your life. Like Swingers. Love that movie. Because I watched it when I was 17 and wanted to live that life, you know? But I think it just speaks to when, if you just hit it at that exact groove and it just sort of fits...
It was our generation's Spring Breakers, Swingers.
Or Ferris Bueller's Day Off, maybe.
Yeah.
Another classic.
I should have shown those two 15-year-olds that rather than The Way, Way Back, and they would have gone, I would love to have been around in the 80s.
Maybe. I wonder what a 15-year-old's reaction would be to something like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
This podcast would be much better.
Off school.
Danielle's sister, Danielle Ward, previous host of this show, she really wanted the Twilight DVDs for Christmas. So Danielle, being the, you know, the dutiful sister, bought her those. But also, as an extra gift, bought her Lost Boys as a way of sort of informing her what vampires used to be, or sort of where this whole vampires being trendy teenagers started, rather than was sort of ripped off from. But her sister opened the presents in the wrong order. So she'd asked for Twilight and opened Lost Boys. It was like, what the hell is this? It was really disappointing.
But has she seen it since?
I don't know. I don't know.
We need follow-up.
We do need follow-up.
I'd love to know what she thought.
Because, my God, Lost Boys is responsible for all of that. It's responsible for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is responsible for Twilight, so...
In a way, yeah, I suppose you're right. And it is a great film. Again, yeah. I wonder, does it stand up now?
Great soundtrack.
I think it does.
Do you think?
The haircuts don't stand up. It's all through rose-tinted specs, isn't it?
That's what life is. It's all about that.
It's almost better to kind of just have it locked away in your brain in that part and just remember it as being, I loved that movie, and don't revisit it. I don't know if that's a great way to live.
Well, there's always new films, aren't there?
Exactly. There's always going to be another Twilight.
Absolutely, thank God.
That's my point about buying all these film magazines. I do think that, like, Total Film and Empire and things like that, it's all about writing about films. Mm. I'd rather go and see the films. Mm.
Sure.
And pay to go to cinema at whatever extortionate amount they're charging now.
It's nice to get excited about films, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and previews. It's nice to read about behind the scenes things and the making of and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like the extras on DVDs. I'm that idiot who watches every single extra on a DVD because I want to see, like, how did they do that special effect where he, you know, punched that vampire in the...
Getting old, mate.
Yeah.
The answer to that question is increasingly becoming they paid a geek to draw it.
Yeah.
That tends to be what it is these days.
It's mostly a video that is green and then someone's face. That's all it is.
They're terrible when you see the backstage things, just literally people putting green boxes.
Another good podcast, if I may say something, is Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I don't know if you've listened to those.
Big fan.
Peter Serafinowicz talking about his experience on The Phantom Menace.
I have not heard
I won't
one,
just but... repeat verbatim what's on that. You can track it down, but it's from a film, you know...
It's a lot of green
film geek's point of view. Oh, he's then repeating a story Terrence Stamp tells about doing it, and it is brilliant.
Oh, wow.
Like, the most depressing in terms of being an actor in cinema you could really think of. Well, before we get on to the film you have chosen, we've got a challenge this week, haven't we, Marek?
Yeah, no, one of those things.
Yes. Thanks, buddy.
I hope that gets picked up.
Oh, every time. Oh, every perfect. Time. This podcast is mostly trying to work out where in your headphones buddy is currently.
Is. Yeah. He's near my lap.
Yeah, he used to be good at falling asleep, but not so much today.
He's very excitable today.
Very excitable. I was enjoying him when I got here, but now I kind of want him to take it down a notch.
Yeah, it's true. You're being very needy, mate.
That was to buddy.
what's the challenge, Marek?
The challenge is to recast a film. This week, it's The Addams Family, which has been a film and also a television series.
It has several films.
Yeah.
And cartoons.
And cartoons, and probably a radio show, I would expect as well.
Video game.
Probably a ride.
Okay, you get the picture. That it's quite popular. The three people we're recasting are Gomez, who is the
patriarch of the family,
played by John Austin originally.
Yeah, and then Raul Julia. Oh, yeah.
Do you know John Austin is actually Sean Austin from The Hobbit's dad?
Sean Astin.
Sean Astin, that's what I meant, Sean Astin.
For real?
For real.
Wow. No.
Yes, I looked him up on Wikipedia.
He was in Erie, Indiana as well, if you remember that show on TV.
That was an amazing TV
show. Brilliant show. He was fantastic as Gomez, though, wasn't he?
Very good. Morticia, who is Mrs. Adams.
Mrs. Adams, yes.
And Uncle Fester, who, the bald one.
The bald eccentric who can light up light bulbs with his mouth.
Sort of like Marek, in a way.
I get so many people say that.
Sorry, I walked into it, didn't I?
Yeah. Okay, so, do you want to go first with your Gomez?
Yeah, my Gomez. You're going to judge this for a Simon.
Okay.
I'm going for someone who can play that sort of charming, but also maybe a bit sinister. I'm making it quite dark, less comic.
Interesting.
I'm going for Michael Fassbender.
Interesting.
He would look great with a little thin moustache, and he's got that look. He's got that sort of otherworldly look, and he could look nice in a suit, I should imagine.
Oh yes,
he certainly scrubs up.
Yeah. He does.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I've gone for somebody who's a bit more got a bit of Latino flair in their genes. You know, I thought we'd both pick the same one.
Ricky
for
Martin.
Me, there's only one person who could play this currently in the current roster of actors, and that's Javier Bardem.
Oh, strong
that
choice.
Is a really good choice.
That is a good choice. I thought you were going to say John Leguizamo.
Oh, also.
I thought you were going to say Benicio del Toro.
Oh, it turns out there's actually quite a few Hispanic actors.
We don't need Benicio anymore. We've got Javier.
Wow. It's one in, one out.
One
mate.
In, one out. That's how it works in Hollywood with ethnicities, doesn't it?
I'm fairly sure that's
pretty
how it works.
Much how it works.
Look, we've got Lucy Liu now, so.
So we don't need to have you a target anymore.
It sort of works that way. It shouldn't, but sort of does. Right, so who are you going to go with, Sam?
Well, Bardem is a great choice because you do need that little bit of sort of Latino flair.
The sort of twinkle in the eye is what I was thinking as well, but he could do the sinister too.
He does Fassbender. Fassbender is very malleable as an actor.
He doesn't mind getting his dick out.
Yeah, that was one of my favourite episodes of the Addams Family.
Oh, God, yeah, that was incredible, that one.
When he was his dick out and then the thing hand.
Yes.
Wasn't it called Wednesday's Child? I think it was called.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Who are you going for?
I'm
going
to come down on the side of Bardem for that one.
It's a wise choice.
Current, popular,
but also, you know, ticks the ethnicity box.
He'd be really good, I admit that.
All right, Morticia's. I was thinking... I'm struggling to find somebody
good
who fills, I think, the requirements for this character, which is they've got to be sexy and high status, but with that sort of weirdness and sort of gothicness to them. I couldn't find anyone I was totally happy with, I have to admit, but I've gone for Eva Green.
Interesting.
Who's she? What's she in?
Eva Green plays Vesper in Casino Royale, she's...
One where they're all naked in the bath with the guy out of Dawson's Creek.
Dreamers.
Yes.
Yeah, she's in all sorts of things.
Okay.
So that's a left-field choice.
I wonder if it is. I mean, she played something similar in a film that was one of my least favourite of all time, which is Dark Shadows. But... it's not her Tim fault, Burton. It's a terrible film.
Yeah, I've not seen that.
No, she's played, you know, witches and things before.
Okay.
In Golden Compass, I believe.
Oh, wow. Another very disappointing film.
Yeah. I want to give her a decent crack at
it. Come on, Eva. Come on, here we go.
Yeah, she does a lot of good French films, I hear.
Right. She was good in Casino Royale.
So, Marek, who's up against Eva Green?
I thought, who always wears black eyeliner?
Russell Brand.
Yes.
And Tim Minchin.
Yep. And who is plays all the gothic parts. That's the only part she ever gets.
Johnny Depp.
No, Fairuza Balk.
I thought you were going to say Helena Bonham Carter.
No, Fairuza Balk always... She only does gothic things.
I don't know who that is.
Return to Oz.
The tiny child from Return to Oz. She is Ed Norton's girlfriend in American History X.
Okay.
She is one of the girls in The Craft, the one who isn't Neve Campbell or Black.
Okay.
And she is. She's not.
We need something more current.
Yes. No.
I have
this
seen
is a picture of her.
There she is.
For those of you who don't know, it's a picture of her.
Look at those gnashers.
Yeah. Huge teeth.
And the good thing is, if you choose Fairuza Balk, it means it gets exciting because there's the cider rather than.
Yeah.
And not trying to put anything in your.
No, you're very good.
I think a young Fairuza is a perfect Wednesday Addams. I'm not
but
sure.
I think she's older now, so she'd be really good. She'd be really great, Simon. Mm. Who are you going to choose?
Have you ever done a course in NLP, Marek?
That's that brainwashing, really, isn't it?
I don't know, I forgot. Okay. I'm going to give it to Fairuza.
Oh, okay. Okay, it comes down to the festive.
I don't dislike Eva Green. In fact, you know, I enjoy her.
Mm.
I enjoy her oeuvre, both of them.
both are oeuvres.
But, let's bring it to the decider.
Okay.
Strong choices, both, though.
Who have you gone for Festa, Marek?
Well, he's just looking in a mirror. Oh,
yeah, you have to go for someone bald.
Do you?
Oh, well, you don't know. I've been watching Breaking Bad constantly.
You've gone for Bryan Cranston?
No, I've gone for Dean Norris, who plays Hank Schrader, the brother.
Oh, great choice.
Great choice, actually.
And he'd be really good, I think.
I love him. He's
funny.
No Breaking Bad spoilers, please.
No, I know, me too. I'm not finished it. He plays the vagina-faced mutant in the original Total Recall.
What a great reference.
I looked at his IMDb. He's worked solidly for the past 30-odd years. You wouldn't believe how many films he's been in.
Yeah.
Good lad.
He's in Starship Troopers as one of the soldier men.
Ah.
Like drill sergeant or something.
Cracking film.
Or desk sergeant, maybe.
Interesting.
Right, okay. Oh, he's a good choice.
That's a good choice.
It's a very good choice.
A lot riding on
I wish
this
I'd
now.
Given more thought to this. Okay. I'm going to go with somebody who's going to bring the funny. I'm not sure they can be bald, but let's try it.
I think everyone can be bald, can't they?
Yeah,
I don't think Robin Williams can be bald.
No, that's impossible.
No.
He has to be rolled in wax.
It's true. I'm going to go with... old weight Jonah Hill.
Old weight Jonah Hill v 1.0.
yeah, that's right.
That
yeah.
is quite a good choice.
That's actually not a bad shout.
I'm imagining him in the black smock, you know, white head.
Is he willing to commit to his art enough to put that weight back on that he spent so long getting off
there? I think he's regretting the whole losing weight thing.
He's
less comfortable now.
He's one of those people, I'm sorry Jonah, who looks fat even though they're thin.
Yeah,
it's almost like when you play those computer games and there's a ghost of the, like when you play Mario Kart and there's a ghost of your record following you.
Yeah,
he's surrounded by a ghost of his fat self.
Oh,
that he can never
harsh.
Lose
it's it true. Does look like someone's
he's
detrated
true. He's one of the skinniest fat people I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh,
there must be a name for it.
Yeah. So Jonah Hill, or what was the name of
Dean Norris,
thank you.
That is a tough one, because also he's sort of ageless, isn't he, that character?
Mm. So, Uncle Fester in the movies, Christopher Lloyd, used to terrify me.
Yeah.
Like, weirdly, it was one of the only characters I was afraid of as a kid. Like, I properly found his mania, just white face.
Yeah.
So frightening.
So classically, older actors have played him.
Yes.
Jonah Hill's probably... Is he even 30?
I reckon he must be 30.
But it's...
You have to be 30 to place him in 20.
Christopher That's Lloyd true, yeah, played yeah. him utterly different to the original in the TV series as well, who's a sort of, just a bumbling sort of uncle. He's sort of fine.
Yeah,
you know? Same one from Only Fools and Horses.
Uncle Albert. Yeah, just without any hair.
The same one. There were two different ones.
Yeah.
Only Fools and Horses as well.
Yeah, you're right.
Interchangeable.
One was Grandad, the other one was Uncle Albert.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It's got really niche. Okay. I'm going to go Jonah Hill on this one.
Yes, 2-1.
It's going to be a reboot, isn't it? So you're going to need someone... And it's going to be a challenge for him, and I'd like to see his chops.
I think that would be... And he's going to bring the funny. You know he's going to bring the funny.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark. Yours was a great choice as well.
It was a tough one this week.
But I'm not... I don't know about his comedic sensibilities. So.
I don't know about your comedic sensibilities.
Oh, I love how we insist on putting this in the middle every time. Yeah. And it always sours the tone.
I like
Merritt
how it comes down on me, and now I'm to blame for this.
Well, who else is to blame then? Who else is to blame for it?
You could have picked choices that were
undeniably
the best ever.
Yeah.
Maybe if Thingy from Breaking Bad, if I remembered him in more comedy roles, that would have helped.
I actually agree with you that with David's choices were better choices, but I just...
You need a reason
to
hate me.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need a reason.
But I was trying to disguise my hatred in the reason.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People would think, oh, Matt really hates that Simon guy.
But it's because...
of the quiz, but otherwise it would be like, what, he just hates this guy for what's wrong with him?
They didn't see you open the door to me and just go, all right, prick.
I didn't say that, did I?
I felt it. Yeah,
your
you said it with your
said
eyes.
It.
Yeah. Face.
Stephen Merchant as Lurch.
That'd be good. In my defence of bullying and Simon is one of the people who it's easy to bully you, right?
I'm inclined to disagree, just so that I don't feel bullied, I suppose.
Okay.
I'm putting up a fight. I'm taking a stand.
I can't help it being one of three brothers that if someone starts giving off those bully me things.
Bully me.
That's I've got bully I don't me that's vibes. Yeah. No when one it, gives off bully me when, vibes. God,
you're like an advert for anti-bullying.
When is it? And it's, no one's addressed that. It's always like, the victim. What about the people who've got bullying syndrome? And I think I've got bullying syndrome. If you address that,
yeah,
there wouldn't be any victims. So try and help us, bullies.
Help us help you.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's okay. That's why. But they've tried all this anti-bullying thing, and it's not worked because they're still bullying.
Yeah.
Trying to change tack.
Maybe just we take you out of the equation.
Yeah. Some set fire to my.
You.
Yeah.
Just set fire to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Backdraft two.
Charcoal.
Boogaloo.
If they could bottle the bully me vibes and spray the bullies with them.
Oh, here we
so
go.
So they just start punching themselves.
Taste of their own medicine.
Would that help?
It's like taking all the bad people and putting in an island.
Yeah. Mm. Or instead of going to prison, if you commit a crime, you get covered in bully me vibes.
Yeah.
That sounds. I think if you go to prison, you get covered in bully me vibes.
True. Yeah. Probably true. Well.
Thanks, Marek, anyway, for souring the tone of your own podcast. It's great to be here.
I don't want to come across as a nice person.
No, that's true, actually.
Well, mission accomplished.
You need that yin and yang.
We've not really talked about films this podcast, have we?
It's been all right. We asked you to bring in a movie.
Yes.
To talk about.
Yeah.
The movie you chose was?
Punching the Clown.
Punching the Clown. I'd not heard of this before.
That's sort of why I picked it.
Tell us about Punching the Clown.
It's a very low-budget, indie, comedy, faux documentary about a real comedian called Henry Phillips. And it's sort of very pseudo-autobiographical, I suppose. Just sort of charting his journey from road comic through to him moving to LA and dealing with all the weirdness that comes with that. And it's just quite a nice reflection on what it is to be a comedian and the weirdness of the industry and yada yada. Sprinkled with a sort of Curb Your Enthusiasm style, awkwardness and
it's
that
got it's
thing.
Got that style, hasn't it? I mean, Louis C.K. is another touchstone that it's very. I mean, it's of a similar type, and it's a comedian doing a thing about the comedy industry.
So sure,
absolutely. But no, I'm really glad you told us to watch this because I really
did you enjoy it?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Yeah, I thought it was just a kind of a good pick because it's one of those sort of hidden gems.
Yeah.
It's on US Netflix for people who want to check it out. Yeah, I was going to pick something bigger or more exciting, but I thought
really
maybe it's more exciting to sort of forage around a bit. And I saw it a few years ago when it came out because I was a fan of Henry Phillips, the real comedian. And yeah, I just really enjoyed it.
It's an odd mix. It felt to me like a very, very clever way of doing your own stand-up DVD.
Yes.
Yes.
So, because there's a lot of him on stage doing his songs, but he's managed to format a story around that and dealing with... And I think it does ring a sort of tone... It does... What's it? It's very... I'm so articulate today. When you're a stand-up and you've been on the circuit, it's very resonant with you. It
100%.
Is, well, there's a world-weary drifter element to his character. That it's, again, why I say, it reminded me of Louis, mm-hmm. the series, because, as you say, it's got bits of him doing his routines in clubs so that he can put those in it,
but then
the world around it as well, and just how it's almost, the world around it is stranger than the routines.
Yeah.
You know?
That's I preferred the world around it to whatever, everything goes slightly wrong. And I love the way he plays it. He doesn't play it for the funny at all. He's so downbeat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very understated.
Smoking, deep voiced, very likeable. Doesn't not wanting it. A lot of the time when you see people, they actually want it so much. It's so refreshing.
But there was also that element that I really enjoyed of just how small the events are that will then have a
snowball and have
a massive impact upon your life.
The bagel story
is fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
And just, well, that's sort of the backbone of the whole piece, it turns out, but it seems to be a sort of satire on LA itself rather than on life, doesn't it?
I think LA and the comedy industry, I suppose, there's that whole sort of thing where he's juxtaposed with the other successful musical comedian. It's like a horrible hack, and I think it resonates a lot as a comedian because, you know, we all have those conversations and those sort of bitchy moments where you're like, how is so-and-so doing? Or people sort of saying to you, like, oh, maybe you should be a bit more like this or like this. So I think it ticks a lot of those boxes for performers or whatever.
Oh, what's great was when you watch comedy videos, you often see the comic doing really well and everyone laughing. Some of the best moments of him performing were where he put himself performing in context where his stuff wasn't working.
Yeah.
Like when you have to go, had to go and re-record, he sort of signs a record deal, he had to go and re-record something in a really cold studio to these execs. And it changed, it's all about the context when you're performing.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating seeing them, but it's awful. It's like that car crashing, it's awful for him, but to watch it's fascinating.
Right.
The format where, you know, like different bad cafes and things like that.
It's also totally believable as well, though. I mean, it doesn't go too far.
Right.
You know, it's, I mean, that thing in the recording booth where they literally won't let him get a verse of a song out before shutting him down and just going, do you have anything funnier?
Do you have any songs that like are funny right from the start? Like, yeah, it's perfect.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Why isn't it done better? Because it's more, it's a lot more interesting than stand-up, the average stand-up DVD.
Well, because I had difficulty tracking it down as well. I mean, it hasn't really been released in this country. I mean, if you've got hokey Netflix so you can access the US, then you can watch it there, but it's not available now. It's not even available on our iTunes.
In fact,
I found it on iTunes and said, OK, I'll rent it off there. And they said, no, you have to be on US iTunes. Do you want to swap to US iTunes? I was like, yeah, OK, fine. He said, no, you need a US account to use this. So now my phone is stuck on US iTunes and I can't. There's no setting to turn it back.
I'm really sorry, David. I'm really sorry that my film choice has broken your phone.
That's all right. I'll probably fix it, plugging it into a computer or something.
If you watch this film, we have to move to America.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's interesting. This topic comes up time and time again in the sort of digital streaming age, which is, it was a final resort, but we went to a sort of hokey website, which I don't think is, you know. But I literally had no other way of seeing this film.
That was apologies. I did the same as well. I tried to get Netflix. I tried to buy it on iTunes. I'm really against ever you know downloading.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, I want the money to go to the people who've 100%. Made it. Absolutely,
especially that sort of thing, which is clearly like a zero budget indie.
Yeah.
Do you not have US Netflix though?
No.
You should look into. It's very easy. It depends what you watch it through, but like, it's very easy. Just
how did you get to it? How did you do that?
I mean, I don't want to go into detail on the podcast, but you just basically change your IP settings.
Okay.
Or if you're watching on a laptop, you can use like a little plug-in on your browser. Google how to get US Netflix in the UK, and there'll be numerous ways to do it.
Okay, cool. Or, but I'm sure you can buy this somewhere from their website.
I'm sure you can buy it on DVD from Amazon or from whoever made it, or there must be a link on Henry Phillips' website. I've gone for something that's so niche and obscure that people are like, oh, I'd like to see that, and there's no way for them to do it.
It's really good. I really recommend it. And if you're thinking of buying a stand-up DVD to watch, it's a really good combination of film and DVD.
Yeah.
I've never seen the musical comedian portrayed as being exactly like a gigging stand-up either.
Right.
Because, you know, I would say, possibly unfairly, but musical comedians sort of have the hack thing attributed to them as well, of just like, if there's a bill of five people and one guy comes on with a guitar before you, you're like, ah, shit.
Yeah,
because it's just a laugh generator, because, you know, if there are verses and choruses, you're literally telling your audience when to enjoy it rather than they did find it genuinely funny. Like, stick a guitar under anything, it'll go down better.
Sure.
But, no, he is... He's a good songwriter.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I think comedy songs is a bloody hard thing to not be hack at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and his are interesting in that he sort of says he's more of like a folksy satirist or whatever.
I totally and empathize with him. His
the other
constant
guy.
Inability to describe what he does.
I found that
in the first time I ever did a solo show. I guess I still, by the end of the Edinburgh Festival, I still couldn't describe it succinctly.
Right.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think for fans of comedy, there's a lot to enjoy. You know, if you're fans of shiny, backdropped, suit-wearing stand-up DVDs, it's the antithesis of that, effectively.
Mm.
If you're a fan of, like, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Louis, that sort of slightly awkward realism comedy, I think there's a lot to enjoy.
Yeah.
Some really great character performances, as well as Henry Phillips, by the supporting cast as well.
Yeah.
Do you watch Arrested Development?
I have only seen a few episodes of the first season.
Okay.
For which I apologise.
Okay, so I think his musical agent plays Steve Holt in Arrested Development. I think.
Well, I'm glad you both enjoyed it. I feel like that's a good choice.
Yeah.
I mean, that it means that the discourse has largely been quite positive.
Well, that's the thing. We can't sort of get into avenues of criticism of other things.
But I think that's a good thing.
I'm glad we've seen it. I mean, it's those opportunities where you can find a film that you won't have heard of or necessarily seen, and then you can pass it on to other people and then let them work out how the hell they're going to find it.
Yeah, but good luck to those people, and if you have enjoyed it, you know, let me know.
Punching the clown, if punching we didn't say clown. It enough at the beginning.
It's a euphemism for masturbation.
But that is not what the film is about.
It really isn't.
There's none in it at all.
No, there's hardly any.
Were you disappointed? You sound disappointed.
Not really, just shocked now. I should be shocked.
Is there a film, is there a film called Spanking the Monkey?
There is.
Yeah. How many others are there we can think of?
Oh, good lord. There's Wankfist 7.
Oh, great. There goes the explicit thing. We try hard, so hard to not be explicit every week.
I've already said
you come
shit.
In here with your shitting potty mouth. And your spunk stories.
Yeah. Sucker Punch, is that one?
Anyway, that's really good.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
Yeah, that's another one.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's really good. That was my one. That's
really good.
Yeah.
Is it in
quotes? It's sort of a post. It's sort of like a poster.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Well done, Simon.
Thanks.
Have you got any... If you want to find out more about Simon, well, you can see him, because he was in my horror film, the guy with the hat in the Film Fandango horror film I made.
On the left.
Yeah, but he makes his own great short films on YouTube, Table for One, amongst other things, which are very entertaining. What's your YouTube, or is it on your website? Or
My YouTube username is Kid Capricorn. But if you go to my website, simonfielder.com, links to all of it on there. Similarly, my Twitter.
But it's not spelled normally, is
it's
it?
It's spelled F-E-I-L-D-E-R. A fun way to remember it is I before E, except after me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do go and look at them. They're very good.
Please do. Thanks. I'd love some more YouTube subscribers.
Subscribe to them and click on the adverts, because then you're taking money away from arseholes and giving it to Simon.
Yeah. I've so far...
That is a good policy. I've never looked at it that way.
Every time I watch someone and I like a video on YouTube, I think... And they monetized it. I know it's really... Being from that... When you make something, spend a week or something, you think, oh... I've made 12 pence.
Dude,
that
you're
much.
Rolling in it.
I always click on the advert and think, oh, I'm taking money away from this people. Well,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then
that's actually a nice point. It's almost, clicking on the advert is almost better than clicking the thumbs up.
Yeah, click on the adverts. Always, if you like something, click on the person's adverts.
Yeah.
5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Ideally, from different computers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, or lock the IP address.
And they'll take all your money away from you, even the money that you've earned.
Oh, God. Yeah, thanks, though. I'd love, come and check out all my shit. That'd be lovely. Oh, that's taken it up to a 12 now, hasn't it?
12.
I swear in any episode. Well, thank you very much, Simon.
Thanks for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Our pleasure. We'll be back next week with more films.
Well, David's off to America.
I'm off to New York for 3 weeks.
So they're going to be sort of some shorter podcasts.
There'll be some shorter ones coming out, yes. But don't worry, we'll be here in some capacity talking guff at you.
What did you do if you want to get in contact with us?
Oh, yes, all of this stuff. Right, if you'd like to email us and have your letter read out and discussed, then please do so, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or you can write on our Facebook wall @filmfandango, or tweet us @filmfandango. And if, as we do all of this for free, you'd like to donate towards Film Fandango staying alive for another week, then you can do so at filmfandango.co.uk.
Great. Hey everyone, thanks Simon.
Thanks Marek. Thanks David.
Thanks Simon.
Thanks listeners.
Thanks. Keep watching the films. Bye.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.